good to be saved, to know the Lord and free pardon of sin. You know, Jackson, you're a fine-looking young man. Did you know you're a good-looking young man? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you don't like yourself, nobody else will. That's a good. I bet you never have to have a spanking, do you? Oh, you do have? Well, and not only that, you're honest. Good-looking and honest. Huh? Who whips you the hardest? Who? Connelly, yeah. He probably going to. Yeah, I tell you what, it's hard to get a good volunteer. Is that it right there? All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, in chapter number 22. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 22, you find the place. We're going to be reading verse number 14 in chapter number 22, the book of Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 14. Now the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, what we need is certainly a voice from heaven. We need a touch from God, a message from the Lord. We ask You now that You'd bless these that have gathered together, be with those that are sick and could not be. We'll thank You in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You and be seated. I want to preach a little bit this morning on a voice from God. Now, when times get hard enough, you talk about needing a voice from God and needing to hear from heaven. You won't be just looking for something religious. You'll be looking for something that comes from the throne room of God. And as a result of that, you'll find that that's what this song is about. We know that it's a song because the Bible says, whenever you begin to look into it, in verse 1, that David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all the enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, here's a man, you know, and by the way, this song here that he's rehearsing, he repeats it again over there in Psalm chapter number 18. But in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, here's the song of David rejoicing, thanking God for how good he's been and for God bringing deliverance and showing him that he was protecting him from all of his enemies that were thus round about, including the king that he served so loyally, whose name was Saul. In the lesson that we're looking at, notice, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter number 21. 1 Samuel chapter number 21, I want you to keep that marked with something. And then I want you to look over here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now here's a man that's after God's own heart. Here's the man that certainly has strength and power and confidence in his Lord. And as a result of it, you'll find that he's done great things. In 1 Samuel, in chapter number 17, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at in verse number 40. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him, look, 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even the scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, let me re-emphasize that. Here's a man that's about to face a giant of a man. And for 40 days at night, old Goliath's been out there defying the armies of Israel, defying the living God they serve. And as a result of it, he's been wanting them to choose out a man to come out and face me. Well, finally, you know, whenever the shepherd boy David had showed up, and he wonders, who in the world's this uncircumcised Philistine out there breathing out all these threatenings and defying the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? And they said, well, we're looking for a man that can be able to fight him. And he'd already killed a lion and a bear. He said, I'll go out there and I'll face him. I'm going to fight him. I'm going to fight him in the name of the Lord. And in your lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that what we want you to see is that whenever he went by to get loaded up, he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, he's only got one man, and he's a pretty good shot. Did you ever notice he only needed one? Did you ever notice that he's got four more left in his little shepherd bag? Why do you think that is? I'm glad you asked that, because it's back in our lesson in chapter number 21 of 2 Samuel, chapter 21. And I want you to watch that, if you will, in verse 18. And he said, and it came to pass that after this there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. And then, and I can't pronounce half of these. I've got a self-pronouncing Bible, and after I close the pages, I can't remember what I read. But anyhow, is that he was Shebekiah or something like that, Hushathite, they slew Sab, and which was of the sons of the giant. And there again was in the battle of Gob, of the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerioim, and he said a Bethlehemite, and slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff whose spear was like the weaver's beam. There was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes. That's 24 in the number. And he also was born into the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the brother of David, slew him. Now watch verse 22. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now I'm going to tell you right now, that's the reason why he picked up them 5 smooth stones. He knew there was one of them going to be laying dead with his head taken off of him. And then he knew that there was 4 more that had been born to the giant. He's ready to take on the whole bunch. And that's good that you look at that. One of the authors, and I try to give credit where it's due, but I'm an old King James Bible believer. And if you believe any other version of the Bible, one of my favorite authors in modern day history, and he's not long from in this world, and but he's probably up in his 80s, and he's had no doubt some health problems, and he's a very studious and a very smart man, but he's not smart enough to be able to know who slew the giant. That's why he puts a stamp of approval upon the New American Standard Version. The New American Standard Version, they don't know who killed the Goliath. In fact, they'll make excuses while they're running down the old King James Bible. And they'll say, well, you know, the reason why that these names are there, these brothers are there, it could be a scribal error whenever they were writing down the word of the Lord or copying it. It could be an alias name that it was. Perhaps there was 2 giants with the same name. Hey, how about this? Perhaps that we just ought to know that the old King James Bible has nailed her down again, buddy, and made a fool of them that try to come up with some other alternative. I got to say to you that, if you will, doesn't it make better sense to be able to know that now we've got these 4 brethren, we've got these 4 sons, we've got these 4 people, whoever they be, and however, these 4 were born of the giant Gath. And wouldn't it make sense to be able to know that the reason why he picked up 5 smooth stones, he's ready to fight all of them? And no doubt about that, you know, it'd be sort of like the story. Man was driving down the road, you know, he was speeding. And as a result of that, the highway patrol gets out and he taps on the window. And he rolls it down and he gets real mouthy with the officer. And the officer takes that flashlight, because, you know, it's night, and smacks him right across the lip with it. He goes around to the other side where the man's hauling a passenger. And he tapped on the window and he rolled it down. He smacks him in the mouth. What'd you do me that way for? I'm not driving. I've not broke the law or anything. Yeah, but you won't be down the road a mile. You'll be mouthing and telling him, I wish that officer had done me that way. Well, that's kind of the idea that David's got with these giants. In case one of them's thinking, I wish he'd try that with me, he's loaded for bear and ready to get it. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that here's a man that's after God's own heart. And let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, is that he's got enemies that are without and enemies that are within. You know, his own king that he was so loyal to by the name of Saul. wanted to kill him and threw a javelin at one time and brought men and tried to kill him. And listen, had it not been for the hand of God and protection of God, no doubt Saul would have killed David as well. In this lesson you're looking at, let me say to you that we ought to recognize the power of God. And as a result of that, David did. And boy, let me tell you, he was praying a prayer of confidence that he believed in God. You ever hear anybody praying, you could just tell it was a buzzing of the lips and going through the motion and didn't mean a thing? Didn't mean anything to God either. Have you ever heard somebody pray in duress and discomfort and praying that God would move in our behalf, and you knew they were as serious as they knew how to be? Sure you have. You and I have both prayed both ways there. We know what it's like. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that David there, he spake unto the Lord, and buddy, he wanted God to be able to speak unto him. Now, I want to tell you something, is that it's one thing for you and I to be able to buzz our lips in prayer. It's another thing that whenever it comes from our soul and comes from within and comes from deep in our heart, and that you and I might be able to present our petition unto God and have confidence that He doeth all things well and that He knows exactly what we're going to need. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out here's a man by the name of David who is after God's own heart. And here's a man that recognizes the hand of God, the voice of God from heaven, and the hand of God in deliverance. I'll tell you something right now. He was confident God was going to help him. And I'll tell you right now is I'm glad that God will hear and God will answer and God will help us. Now right now, if you're sitting around and everything's running smooth and everything's running all right, then you're probably not needing to get too serious with God. But I'll tell you what, you get down to an impassable, impossible situation. And when the enemy's got you surrounded and boxed in and your mind's running crazy with itself, I tell you what, you're going to need to have God hear and answer your prayer and be serious with God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that God will help us. And God's the only one sometime that you and I will finally recognize that can help us. And I'll tell you something, David, when he couldn't help himself, he knew that God was able to move in his behalf and to be able to help him. I got to say to you, there's a lot of giants out there in the world that are too big for us to handle. And they're after you. I can tell you right now, they're after you some way or another. You know how the devil tries to get after you with a giant? He tries to bring the problem that's so overwhelming and that it's so mammoth that you're just not going to be able to see a way around it, over it, or be able through it. But God is able in the behalf of that, like he was this young man who's now singing the song and singing about the Lord. And he said, and the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I can tell you something. Here's a man that recognizes his protection is of God. Here's a man that recognizes that, buddy, I'm on solid ground because I'm on the solid rock. I'm not just religious. I'm not just going through the motion. I've been placed upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and he's established my going, and as a result of that, my feet are not going to slide. You know, if you're not saved this morning, and that's fine, and God will afford you the luxury to not be, but what a foolish thing that it is, because you're standing on a slippery bank and you could slide off into hell at any moment. I'm glad to know that God has provided a way that you and I can have stability upon the solid rock. And as a result of that, you're going to find out we can be able to pray with every bit and every fiber of our being and with all confidence, the Lord is my rock. Is he your rock this morning? I'm not talking about rock and roll. I'm talking about the rock Christ Jesus. That's why he tells us over in about Deuteronomy, about chapter number 32, somewhere along in there, their rock was not the same as my rock. See? I remember whenever some of you young men that are sitting here now, and I remember whenever you used to come in, you know, and you were just sliding around here, there, and yon in religious, and you came not because you liked the word of the Lord, you liked a young lady. I've even had young ladies that came because they liked a young man. I got to say to you that if you will, that's fine and that's dandy, and it's a whole lot better to pick out somebody in the house of the living God than it is down there in a barroom somewhere. My wife, she's got a little allergy going on. I've noticed. I asked her about it. And as a result, result of that is that she was kissing me. I said, you sound to me like you're getting sick. Didn't stop her on the kissing. I wasn't trying to fight her off either. Well, I mean, for two reasons. Number one is that she's a good kisser. And number two is that I like to practice. And if I get sick later, I've got people that can fill in here for me. I want to say to you that it's good to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin and to be able to have sure footing upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, what are you waiting for? I mean, it's not like we're living in a foreign country that's never heard the gospel. Do you know where people who have never heard the gospel, not one time, that live and die without ever hearing the gospel, you know where they go? Bible says they go to hell. And not because God wouldn't have loved them or didn't love them, but because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, because they never heard the truth. See, you're certainly a fortunate bunch to live here in America to where you can hear the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's my rock, he said. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, that he's the horn of my salvation and my defense is going to be of God. I was thinking about whenever you look into this Bible lesson here, you'll find that we ought to recognize how God protects us. Not only that, we ought to render praise unto God for his protection and for salvation and the fact that he's caused you and I to be born into the family of God. I got to say to you in verse 5 and 6 of this same chapter, in 2 Samuel chapter number 22, he said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Amen. Yes, he is. And so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now I want to tell you what ends up happening is this here. Is that you and I are surrounded by floods of ungodly men. And we could say in the other, and that's in the neuter gender, if you want to give both of them, by ungodly men as well as ungodly women. And let me say to you that, if you will, that floods of them. You ever stand around like a riverside, a lakeside, the oceanside, and watch stuff coming in? It's like floods of ungodly people. And when it comes in, sometimes it's got a few cans and pieces of paper, crashes, and then goes back out. Sometimes it leaves a little trash on the seashore or on the bank. But I got to tell you right now is that God uses that illustration to be able to show you that if you're not saved by the grace of God, then you're nothing but just aimlessly floating around trash in the mind of God, and one of these days it'll be over. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out in a situation of distress, in a situation of death, in a situation of danger, you'd better come to know the Lord, because there's floods of ungodly men that are out there in this world that are full of fear, full of sorrow, full of death. And I want to tell you, just like waves that keep crashing against the bank, that's the way one of these days it'll be over for you. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in verse number 7 of our text, in my distress I called upon the Lord. You know what God did, what the psalmist did, what he records here? Is that you'll find that he relieves himself through prayer. You know, that's the way you and I, when we came to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. When we came to realize, you know, that we were lost without God, we was undone, that we were sinners that needed to be saved by grace. When you and I called upon the name of the Lord, that's when he saved us. I want to say to you that when you look into it, when we bowed our head as well as our heart unto the Lord and trusted him in our distress, when we called upon the Lord, I cried unto God and he heard my voice out of the temple. And my cry did enter into his ears, and the earth shook and so forth and on. I remember over there in the book of Acts in chapter number 16, remember Paul and Silas? They'd been beaten, thrown into the inner chamber of the jail. And yet they got to praying and singing at about midnight, when God opened up the doors and allowed them to escape, and all the rest of the world that knows us about it, stands in awe. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, what an earth-shaking event that it was the day these people got saved. What an earth-shaking event it was the day I got saved, when the day many of you got saved. An earth-shaking event, friend. And I got to say to you that it was so good to be able, that one moment we were shackled in sin, the next moment we were free to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say to you, if you'll rely upon the path of God and you'll be able to walk with Him, could I say to you that, if you will, in verse number 23, that in the chapter He said, "For all of His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them." See, it's not just good that you're able to walk about, and it's not just good that you're able to feel good about yourself, but it is good to know that you've got the Word of the Lord to correct you wherever that you're wrong. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that a man is never going to be conscious of the grace of God and the mercy of God until he hears or she hears the blessed Word of the Lord. It's not just feeling good about yourself, but it's weighing what you are and what you think and where you go and how you live, weighing all of that by the blessed Word of the Lord. In this lesson, as we close out here, look in chapter, same chapter, verse 50. "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee." That's a good thing. "O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." Now I want you to watch that. I'm going to give thanks unto God. "O Lord, I'm going to sing praises unto thy name." Where? Among the heathen. Is your mom and daddy saved? Have you been talking to them about it? Your siblings, are they saved? Have you been talking to them about it? Those that are acquaintances and that you consider dear to your heart, have you ever been talking to them about the Lord? Have you ever just asked them and say, "Hey, you ought to come to church with me"? Well, yeah, you're asking me that all the time. Hey, if you ask any time, God bless you, and keep doing it all the time. One of these days, the last time you'll ever ask them will be upon you. I want to say, as we get ready to close, that if you will, please, every action that we have, I want to give thanks unto God because of who God is. He's the tower of my salvation, the King. He showeth mercy to the anointed, unto David, and his seed forevermore. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved, saved, saved by the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, "Preacher, I would to God I could say that with all confidence." Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. All you have to do is look beyond yourself and look unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When God breaks your heart and shows you yourself, that He loved you in spite of who and what you are, then you can be saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for all in this congregation. Lord, may You bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. And may You help us to be able to recognize and know that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none else. I pray You'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.